Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Well, it appears Annapolis was bust. That's good for Israel. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Well, it appears that even the Annapolis event was prophesied, according to Rabbi Cohen. Remember him from last week? Wasn't that guy interesting? It was one of the few times that I went over time. But don't worry, we'll have him back to talk about some more of what the Bible has to prophesy about and what craziness is going on in the world today. And a Freilichen Chanukah at all. And don't forget to first light the Chanukah lick before you light the Shabbos candles. And then tomorrow night, make Havdalah and then light the Chanukah lick. Probably already know that, but I figured I have to throw that in. The Parsha this week is Miketz. Remember, last week we talked about Joseph interpreting the dreams of the butler and the baker. Well, after two more years in prison, Yosef is called to interpret Pharaoh's dreams of seven fat cows and seven lean ones. Well, he tells Pharaoh that there'll be seven fat years, followed by seven lean years, and advises Pharaoh to start storing grain for the lean years. Well, Pharaoh's so impressed with this guy that he appoints him as governor over all of Egypt. Well, Yosef marries Asnas, the daughter of the guy that got him thrown into jail in the first place, and he has two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And if you remember, that's the guy also whose wife is the one that really accused him for, you know, and got him thrown in jail. But whatever. The famine starts spreading. And guess what? The only place to get grain was from the guy that had the foresight to store it in the first place. Yosef, of course. So now Yaakov's family is also beginning to need grain, so not to starve. He sends 10 of his sons to Egypt, where Yosef recognizes them immediately. But now that he's grown up, has a beard, the brothers don't recognize him. They say, if you shave your head and grow a beard, even your mother wouldn't recognize him. Well, Yosef charges them with spying and keeps shimming and sends the others back with the grain. And when the brothers got back, they found their money was still in their sacks. Whoops. Yosef demands that they bring their youngest Binyamin next time or don't bother coming back. So the brothers convince the father, and they return with Binyamin, repay the money, get shimon and more grain, and leave to go home. But this time they're stopped on the road, and Binyamin is found with a goblet and charged with stealing. So now Yosef wants to keep Binyamin and send the others back. But this time Yehuda steps up to the plate. And of course, this is all done to help the brothers repent for what they did to Yosef many years ago. What happens next? Well, come back next week and find out in the next Parsha. And speaking of coming back, our staff is always coming back to bring you quality Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Mr. Vordelin. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. And, of course, we'll have your community announcements and Mazel Tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at JewishExperienceRadio.com. And we'll continue to ask you for your support. We continue to get many accolades from listeners about how much they look forward to the show each week. But frankly, without your support, it simply can't continue. So consider sponsoring your favorite segment. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah Lesson and his popular stories segment is now available for sponsorship. And, of course, community news and announcements, popular feminine perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is also available. So call right now and reserve your spot. As always, we really do thank our regular sponsors, because without them, we wouldn't be here altogether. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift. A beautiful refrigerator magnet that's yours. All you got to do is call us, 412-979-5770, or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And candlelighting time tonight, guess what, 4:35 p.m., here we are, the earliest Shabbos of the year.
השם מוגן בעדי, I'm מוגן, I'm מוגן בעדי. כבודי עומד עם ראשי, עומד עם ראשי. ואחדו השם מוגן בעדי, I'm מוגן, I'm מוגן בעדי. כבודי עומד עם ראשי, כבודי עומד עם ראשי. כל אל השם מקרוא, כל אל השם השם שם מקרוב, כל מי אל השם, השם מקרוב, בימי אני, מהכל שתן לו. Hashem mogen ba'di, I'm mogen, I'm mogen ba'di. Kevati umeid im roshi, kevati umeid im roshi. Kol ni el Hashem mekro, kol ni el Hashem, Hashem mekro. Vayaneini, me'akot shitzen lo yo. Kol ni el Hashem mekro, kol ni el Hashem, Hashem mekro. Hashem mogen ba'di, I'm mogen, I'm mogen ba'di. Kevati umeid im roshi, kevati umeid im roshi.
An insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
We celebrate the holiday of Chanukah to commemorate the great miracle of oil that took place in the Holy Temple. How exactly did this miracle take place? Traditionally, there are two general explanations. According to one opinion, the miracle occurred quantitatively. One way this could have happened was that each morning, after burning through the night, the cups of the menorah were found to be full of oil. According to these opinions, the miracle involved the quantity of the oil. Hashem caused additional oil to appear in the menorah. The second opinion is that the miracle concerned the quality of the oil. Hashem enhanced the quality of the oil in the menorah so that instead of burning for only one night, the oil burned more slowly, taking 8 nights to be consumed. However, each of these two explanations leave unanswered questions. The second opinion, that the miracle concerned the quality of the oil, raises the following question. We know that our matriarchs, Sarah and Rivka, would light their Shabbos lamps on Friday before sunset, and although there was only enough oil to last until after Shabbos meal that evening, Hashem miraculously caused the lights to continue burning until the following Friday afternoon. This miracle occurred week after week throughout the lifetimes of Sarah and Rivka. Thus, both miracles, the Shabbos lights of Sarah and Rivka and the menorah lights of Hanukkah, were of the very same nature. In both cases, the quality of the oil was improved so that it burned at a slower rate. So, the miracle of Hanukkah, according to this, was merely a repetition of the miracle that had occurred centuries earlier with our matriarchs. Why would the rabbis decide to emphasize the miracle of the menorah by establishing a new holiday if the same kind of miracle had happened before? According to the first opinion, that the miracle was one of quantity, that new oil filled the menorah, there is also a question. Even if we follow this opinion, that Hashem created new miraculous oil, we are faced with the same problem. This type of miracle also occurred previously in the time of the prophets. The prophet Elisha wished to help a pious woman and her sons who were deeply in debt and very poor. He instructed her to gather as many empty vessels as she could. Miraculously, enough oil flowed from her original single small jar of oil to fill all the vessels she had. So even according to the opinion that the miracle was one of quantity, the same type of miracle had occurred previously. There is, however, a third way to explain the miracle of Hanukkah that will avoid all of these difficulties. According to this explanation, the miracle that took place on Hanukkah was original, something new that had never before happened. When the priests came into the temple in the morning, they saw that although the menorah had remained lit during the night, it was still full. But this was not because Hashem filled it miraculously. Rather, something very different occurred. As the oil was being burned by the flame, it was not being consumed. This defies logic, and only Hashem is capable of performing such a feat, in which two contradictory things happen simultaneously. The oil is burning, and it is producing a flame, yet at the same moment, it is not being depleted. This is the great miracle that took place at Hanukkah.
Time.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you've worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600.
Israel besimcha, 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 besimcha. Yes, lachemecha. Ayush shei v'lei toy v'siyei nevecha. Besimcha, besimcha, besimcha. Hinei Mashiach po. Oyod ishtei lechayim, ay Yerushalayim, yiyu lo ashlemo. Oyod ishtei lechayim, matoy v'manoim, hinei Mashiach po. Oyod ishtei lechayim, ay Yerushalayim, yiyu lo ashlemo. Lechayim, lechayim, lechayim toivim ulsholoim. Ki kvar rotzo Elohim, esma v'asevecho. Ad bo nishte lechayim, le'afinu shebashamayim. Ki kvar rotzo Elohim, esma v'asevecho. Ad bo nishte lechayim, v'irushalayim. Ha-ha-ha, nishte lechayim, ay v'irushalayim. V'giyu lo ashlemo. V'yod nishte lechayim, matok manoim.
It's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
While the vast majority of non-Jews in Europe did not manifest any concern over the fate of their Jewish fellow citizens during the Holocaust, there were scattered throughout Europe individuals and even groups who rescued Jews for altruistic reasons and at great risk to themselves. Yad Vashem has honored more than 19,000 people as righteous among the nations, individuals ranging from diplomats, military personnel, and religious officials to ordinary men and women. Rescuers span many nations and cultures, from the 5,632 Polish honorees to the 60 Muslim Albanians, 2 Chinese, 1 Japanese, 1 Brazilian, and 1 American. Rescuers advancing various reasons to explain their motivation for not following the easy path of non-involvement show the greatness of human beings created in the image of God. Religious reasons. I was only a vessel through which God's purpose was fulfilled. I know that when I stand before God on Judgment Day, I shall not be asked the question posed to Cain, "Where were you when your brother's blood was crying out to God?" Imre Batory, Hungary. Compassion. I did nothing special, and I don't consider myself a hero. I simply acted on my human obligation to the persecuted and suffering. I want to emphasize that it was not I who saved them. They alone saved themselves. I simply gave them a helping hand. I sought no compensation for what I did, and in a way I am proud that while I was once rich, I am now destitute. I did no more than help 49 Jews to survive the Holocaust. That's all. Vladislav Kowalski, Poland. Recognition of God's chosen people. First and foremost, I thank God for making me what I am and granting me the privilege of helping the Jewish people, God's people. Ludovit Kochol, Czechoslovakia. A natural thing. What I did came naturally. It would have been unnatural not to do it. Herta Muller Kulenthal, Netherlands. Sanctity of life. I was scared to death like everyone else, but I made up my mind right then and there, if I can help, I will. My mother always taught me that everyone has the right to live. Mary Zoll, Poland. Shame. While the Germans imprisoned the Jews of Vilna behind the walls of the ghetto, I was unable to do my work. I could not sit in my workroom, I could not eat. I felt I had to do something. Onis Simate, Lithuania. Although all righteous Gentiles deserve great respect and appreciation, in one country in particular, Poland, their deeds are all the more praiseworthy. Nowhere else did rescuers face such severe risks. The Germans publicly proclaimed the death penalty for Poles helping Jews, and those caught were executed along with their entire families, sometimes being burned alive in their houses. Frequently, rescuers were denounced to the Germans by their Polish anti-Semitic neighbors, and even by family members. What's more, for the rescuers, severe economic conditions made it very difficult to feed and support extra people, and suspicions were aroused when rescuers purchased or stored extra provisions. Therefore, the few thousand rescue stories emanating from Poland exemplify a spiritual boldness hardly conceivable. Some are close to legendary. These Polish rescuers epitomize man as a loving and caring person, and their deeds serve as behavioral role models for future generations. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
Now, here's Israel National News.
After Annapolis, Israel plans more housing. This is Benjamin Bresky in the Israel National Radio Newsroom. The Israeli government said it would be willing to remove the Jewish communities in eastern Jerusalem at the Annapolis conference. But this week, government officials have announced a new plan to build housing units in Har Homa. The U.S. wants Israel to clarify its positions in the plans which were made public this week to build 307 new residential units in the Har Homa neighborhood of Jerusalem. Haaretz newspaper reported that senior American officials raised the issue in a meeting in Jerusalem and said the administration wished to understand what the announcement meant. Despite Israel's legal and moral right to build anywhere in its capital, the eastern side of Jerusalem is heavily populated with Muslim Arabs. The area was previously part of Jordan from 1949 to 1967. Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni is meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice at a summit of NATO foreign ministers in Brussels, and sources say the subject of Har Homa will come up. Har Homa is a neighborhood in Jerusalem reestablished in 1967. It has a population of approximately 16,000 with three major shopping centers. Housing in the central neighborhoods of Jerusalem is hard to come by and expensive, making outerlying neighborhoods such as Har Homa attractive and affordable for young couples and families. Rabbi Shalom Dov Wolp of the group SOS Israel is bringing back the idea of the Jewish communities of Judea and Samaria breaking off to form their own autonomous government. As the Israeli government has threatened to abandon the areas and forcibly remove the residents of Judea and Samaria, as it did in Gaza in 2005, Rabbi Wolp stated, "If the government withdraws from Judea and Samaria, then we will start a new state." He plans to publish his views in an article which will appear this Shabbat in a weekly pamphlet called Our Land of Israel, which is distributed in local synagogues. According to the Council of Jewish Communities in Judea and Samaria, there are approximately 260,000 tax-paying Jewish residents living in the region. Medics describe it as a Hanukkah miracle. A woman has given birth to twins on a highway in a taxi. The 33-year-old mother was en route to the hospital on Route 4. She gave birth to one boy and one girl. Venture capital funds prefer Israel as one of the top five locations for investment, according to a survey by accounting and consulting firm Deloitte Brightman Almagor. Egal Brightman told Globes, "It is clear that the interest that U.S. venture funds are showing in Israel will continue and even intensify further in the future. The funds are for new startup companies investing in new products and technologies. One of Israel's success stories is ICQ, the instant messaging service invented by an Israeli company and then sold to Time Warner AOL for a large sum." Egal Brightman pointed out that although venture capital funds around the world have taken notice of Israel, Europe seems to still avoid investment in the Jewish state. European funds still do not consider Israel an attractive investment location, even though Israel is close to Europe and is suited to European funds' policies of investing in neighboring countries, he said. Today is the 27th of Kislev, 5768, the fourth night of Hanukkah. Your weather forecast, Shabbat and Sunday, partly cloudy, low of 44 Fahrenheit, chance of rain. Monday, getting warmer, high of 59. This is Benjamin Breski, Israel National Radio.
That was a look at Jerusalem weather. And now, for your local weather, here's meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
A weak low pressure disturbance will bring some light snow and mixed precipitation late Friday night into early Shabbos morning. A series of low pressure systems will track northeastward from the west into the region, bringing periods of rain or snow showers between Monday and Wednesday of next week. There'll be milder temperatures early next week, and then it will turn colder by Thursday and Friday. The forecast for Pittsburgh and vicinity for Shabbos Day, cloudy with some snow showers and light accumulation of snow possible, high in the mid-30s. Please be careful while walking outside. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a chance of snow and rain showers, low 30 to 35. On Sunday, the chance of rain and snow showers continuing. No accumulation is expected. The high temperature between 35 and 40. This is meteorologist Glenn Foxen wishing everyone a Ferelkin Hanukkah, good weather, and great times this Shabbos.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And it may be getting cold outside, but we're going to heat it up now with a little mazel tov action. Yael and Sam Henteleff on the birth of a daughter. Dr. and Mrs. Harvey Henteleff and Dr. and Mrs. Larry Roman on the birth of a granddaughter. Chaya and Ilan Sokol on the birth of a son. Of course, Marlene and Stephen Sokol on the birth of a grandson. This is All in the Family Week on the Jewish Experience. Gail and Bill Hoffman on the birth of a grandson. And Dr. Lee and Mrs. Leora Weinberg on the engagement of their daughter Sonia to Orange Schwartz of Cleveland. And let's take a look around the community. There's some classes going on. Class on Israel, Spirit of the Land. Why we all care about Israel, Squirrel Hill, Shadyside, Downtown, South Hills, Fox Chapel. Visit myjli.com for more information or call 412-421-3561. Father and Son Learning at the Kolo after Shabbos, 7:15 to 8 p.m. Prizes, pizza, cookies, all kinds of stuff. Bring someone new, receive an extra prize raffle ticket, and you can call the Kolo for more information on that, 412-420-0220. And the long-standing meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. Still meeting, Shari Tower, every Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Programs Recovery Group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Elon at 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your mazel tovs on our program, call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net. By noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget candlelighting time this week, the earliest of the year, 4:35 p.m.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but he promised Israel to his chosen people. Hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this Promised Land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the Promised Land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
Yerushalayim, oy, reshel oylam, Yerushalayim, oy, reshel oylam, oy, 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 reshel oylam. Umi, oy, rosham, Yerushalayim, oy, roshel, Yerushalayim. Umi, oy, rosham, Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umi, oy, rosham, Yerushalayim, oy, roshel, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, HaKol Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Yerushalayim, 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 Y
now for a look at the feminine side of things. Reporting from Israel, here's Ms. Devorah DeLynn.
Does it ever bother you when your child, whether it's your own or one you're babysitting, gets wii-itis? No, not wii-itis from playing too many Nintendo games. But when the kid won't stop asking why about everything? I'm not a psychologist, so I can't tell you why this happens. But I can tell you that it can get pretty annoying. For this week's segment, instead of looking into the laning as I normally do, I decided to take a look into the Tanya, a precious, veritable treasure trove of knowledge, but one that is often overlooked, perhaps due to the fact that we use it every day to learn. Tomorrow's portion of Tanya starts to talk about what the Alter Rebbe, the author of the Tanya, refers to as the 10 Sefirot, or divine manifestations. These are basically characteristics and expressions of the soul that influence what we do, how we do them, and in a sense, they shape who we are. The Sefirot are divided into two groups, three in the Seichel or intellect group, which includes our thought process, and the remaining seven in the Midos or emotions group, which include kindness, severity, and other such feelings. Chachma, wisdom, is the first of all the divine manifestations and is the first in its group. It represents that first flash of inspiration that sparks a chain reaction resulting in complete thought, perhaps ending in an action. The Alter Rebbe says that the word Chachma, comprised of the letters Ches, Chaf, Mem, and He, can be rearranged into Kolach Ma, literally the power of questioning of what is and of why they are that way. Although he teaches us this in connection with the formation of thoughts, I'd like to focus on what this means to us as an action. Think of it, this amazing ability to question and to realize that yes, sometimes now is not the appropriate time to lay back and to just accept whatever happens. Sometimes we need to question, and we need to get up and to change the world. This spark of Koach Ma is what drove the Hashmonaim at the time of the Hanukkah story to their ultimate victory. Why, they asked, are the Greeks not allowing us to keep the Torah and the mitzvot? Why should we listen to a physical leader of fine abilities when we have King of all kings on our side? This why, this spark of outrageous courage, because, in all honesty, it really was a folly. A tiny nation fighting against one of the largest armies in the world? But the special power of why, this koach ma, that stems from our chachma, the intellect of our soul, is what drove Elazar to stab an elephant, drove the people to risk their lives for the sake of God's name, and drove the people to ultimately win. Throughout history, people have persecuted, extorted, and taken advantage of the natural kindness that was upon Jewish people. But there's a time to say enough, a time to say no. We are done with giving away our land, done with living a life of materialism, done with godless exile. We are ready for the days of true light. We're ready for the redemption of Mashiach. Have a good Shabbos and a Freilich and Hanukkah.
Matoy vuoy holecho yakoy.
Now it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Alter Rebbe once sent one of his Hasidim on a mission to raise a large sum of money for an important cause. The Rebbe blessed him with a safe trip, but mysteriously warned him not to enter any house that had its door on the east side. The trip went well, and soon most of the money had been collected. But one day the Chassid found himself caught in a snowstorm on a lonely road winding through the forest. The wind grew steadily stronger and colder. He urged his horse on, hoping to reach some sort of an inn before he lost his way entirely in the snow. But hours passed, and still nothing. He was numb and freezing, and the snow was falling so densely that he couldn't really see where he was going. He prayed to Hashem for some sort of miracle. Suddenly, through the white area of swirling snow, he saw what would look like the outline of a house just off the road. With his last ounce of strength, he forced the horse in its direction, and sure enough, it was a house. It even had a mezuzah on the door, a Jewish house, no less. He thanked Hashem for his good fortune as he jumped from his wagon onto the front porch and knocked on the door. An elderly woman opened the door and led him into the warm house. "Come in, you must be freezing," she said. "Come have a cup of tea. Sit here by the stove. In just a minute my sons will return. They will put your horse in the barn. Please sit down." Just as he sat and began thawing out, he remembered that it was almost night and he hadn't yet davened mincha. So he asked the woman which direction was east, and prayed, thanking Hashem for his good fortune. As he finished praying, he noticed that something was wrong. The eastern wall was the one with the main entrance of the house in it. Without hesitation, he put on his coat and walked to the door, saying apologetically, "I'll be right back." But the door was locked. He went to the window, but it too was locked. "I forgot something in the wagon," he called to the old woman, who had slipped out of the room. "Could you please open the door?" Suddenly, a key turned in the door from the outside, and four young men entered from the storm. As soon as they saw their visitor, they immediately grabbed him, emptied his pockets, tied him up, laid him on the ground in a corner, and sat down to eat while their mother examined the booty. "Ho," she exclaimed, "look what we have here," as she held up the pack of money she found in his wallet. "Good work, boys, excellent. We'll have to kill him, though. I'm glad you left him for me. You know what? In the morning, I'll take care of him. Now, let's drink to our good fortune." Late that night, when they were all sleeping soundly, the father woke up, looked around to make sure that no one else was awake, tiptoed over to the chassid, motioned him to be silent, cut his ropes, and silently ordered him to follow. He tiptoed over to the door, opened it, and gave the chassid his coat. "Here is your money back," he whispered in the chassid's ear as he pushed the wallet onto the chassid. Then he pressed a gold coin in the chassid's hand. "This is for charity from an old sinner. Tell your Rebbe to please pray for me. Now go. Get out of here as fast as you can. Run for your life." The dawn was beginning to light the horizon, the storm had stopped, and our grateful hero was on the road back home. When he entered the Rebbe's room, the Rebbe looked up at him and said, "I know what happened. You don't have to tell me. I was up all night interceding on your behalf." The chassid produced the golden coin and told of the old thief's request. The Rebbe took the coin and wedged it in a crack in the wall next to his desk and said no more. 15 years passed, and the chassid, who was now married with a family, became one of the Rebbe's secretaries. One day he answered the door to an old beggar and told him to wait. When he entered the Rebbe's room and informed him that there was a beggar at the door, the Rebbe pulled the gold coin from the crack where it had been for 15 years and told the chassid that this was the old man who had released him years ago. It seems that his wife and sons awoke and realized what he had done. They beat him and drove him from the house just some hours before the police made a surprise raid and took the mother and sons off to prison. The old man began a life of wandering and atonement, waiting for a sign that his repentance had been accepted in heaven. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up another frigid edition of the Jewish Experience radio program, a couple of reminders, class on Israel, Spirit of the Land, Why We All Care. Visit MyJLI for more information, myjli.com, 412-421-3561. Father and Son program at the Carlel after Shabbos, prizes and all that stuff, 412-420-0220 for more information on that. And meeting of Food Acts Recovery Anonymous, Shari Torah, Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Program not for women only, also for men. Call Ilana, 412-422-2224. Call us if you'd like to have your mazel tovs and events on the program, 412-979-5770, or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And we want to thank our faithful Cutting Edge staff once again for coming up and being counted and getting in the fray and all that stuff. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoist.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn reporting from the land of Israel, and our engineer, Jeremy LeBostenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget candlelighting time, the earliest of the year, so get to it. 4:35 p.m. It's been a ton of fun. I do have to run. I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a Freilich and Chanukah. We'll see you all next week or before on the web at JewishExperienceRadio.com anytime. And, of course, back here Friday, same Yiddish time, same Yiddish channel. Shalom, Shabbat. Malachi Elyon, mi melech malchei ha-malchim, ha-gadosh baruch hu, mi melech malchei ha-malchim, ha-gadosh baruch hu, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.